Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each one. I won't keep you so long tonight. There's some people back doing a barbecue and some other stuff. I didn't really know they'd be here tonight. But anyhow, the Lord bless those that came along, and trust the Lord to bless you. This Sunday morning, Brother Mark's going to be preaching, and then myself in the evening, and pray as well for Brother Gary's going to preach, Bell the Hinch. We pray for all the meetings, that the Lord will have his way. I don't know if anyone's heard, but Brother Ed Biscoll passed away this morning at 5:30 with his family. He was 90 years old. And I'm sure everybody, saw the video from years ago, I Am a Witness. A tremendous video of Brother Ed Biscoll with William Branham testifying of the things he's seen. And one time when the angel came to William Branham in the car, he was with him and he had some experiences, and he told about the young man with a checked shirt, and he measured the horns, and nobody had a checked shirt on the hunting trip. And William Branham said, "It was thus saith the Lord," and he told them the exact length of the horns of the what they were going to shoot, but nobody had a checked shirt. And he said he was a young fella what was wearing this checked shirt. And the next morning when Ed Biscoll got up and he looked in his pack, and he had thrown his shirt out because it was ripped. His wife sewed it, put it back in his rucksack, and he was wearing it to fulfill what God's prophet said. I know there's a lot of rubbish on YouTube and the internet reading William Branham up, but I believe he was a true prophet of God, no matter what's on YouTube or internet. And I don't believe all the nonsense it's about, and especially some of the boys that's telling it, because they couldn't have laced his boots. Let's be honest about it. What are they doing for God? What are they really doing for God? And I tell you, there was some testimonies in that, and Perry Green as well. Was a young man sitting right in the front when the wee girl received the eyes. She didn't even have eyes. And the two eyes was created and she received two eyes. That is some testimony. And I'm telling you, you don't hear much of that today, but that is some testimony. And you know, Geordie's not here tonight, but he's a friend and I have a friend. And you can read between the lines and guess. He used to wear a collar, this fella. He was good friends with Ron Borthwick as well. But I'll tell you what, I'm going to be honest with you. I heard him on the other night and I was shocked, because God's moved on that man. And he's preaching to the millions, not the thousands, the millions. And what he's seeing in Africa would blow you clean away with that man told them testimonies. And Keith's on with him. Keith Moxham and him was preaching at the same place. It was special meetings. And he's not talking about thousands, he's talking about far beyond that, with getting saved in Africa. Real conversions, he says. And he'd be the type of boy, you know, would have to be suffering, you know what I mean? But he believes in tongues, prophesying and everything now. And he's even seen the dead raised. So I was shocked, because he was starchy. Starchy as you'll get. But he was a fiery man when he started. He had a bit of fire with him, but the Bible College sort of watered it down out of him. But God's put it back in him. And I'll tell you another thing. His wife was given up a long time ago. They said she wouldn't be able to live. And she's still living. And it was actually her who was the missionary to Africa, not him. She was the one that originally did it. And he was supporting her. And he pastored here for 30 years, and then he went full time out in Africa, and he's been there a long time. And I'm telling you the testimonies he had. He's having as big a meetings as any of them men you'll see on any of them things. Reinhard Bunke or any of them, he's having meetings as big as any of them boys there. And he's a man from here that we knew that used to wear a collar. So I didn't have a lot of time for boys with collars, but now he didn't have the collar on, by the way. He's maybe quit wearing the collar. He's got rid of the collar. But isn't it amazing what God can do? What God can do. And I'll tell you, as I couldn't believe it, I went on because Keith was on this, there was different preachers on it, and he came on and I heard his voice and I couldn't believe it on what he's seeing happening. God's good, but God is moving in Africa. God's moving in Africa, and it's Africa's time. And I'll tell you, we've had the gospel a long time. And used to be from all these countries, missionaries went out. But a lot of it's happening the other way around. Amen. Now, you hear a lot of negative rubbish about Africa as well. I know all that. And there is a lot of rubbish. There is, because I've been there and I know. But there's a real as well. There's a genuine as well. So Ed Biscoats went on to be with the Lord, and just let's remember the whole family in prayer and everything, and we mightn't agree with everything he said, but I believe them testimonies was from the Lord. And you know, William Branham looked at him one day, and William Branham said to Ed Biscoats, he said, "You're going to work with Indians. You're going to work with Indians." And this is when he was a young fella. And that's exactly what he did. He went and he worked with Indians, and God moved. God moved, and they started out in a wee cabin with about very few people, and that church ended up having about 1,400 people. Started off with Indians. So God's word never fails. Sure, it doesn't, when it's the real word of God. Let's turn our Bibles tonight. Tonight I want to talk about physicians in the Bible. And I haven't as much time in this as I wanted, but how many's always heard preachers over the years calling Luke the physician? And he is called the physician. But you'll never read of him practicing medicine. He's called a physician, but you'll never read of Luke in any of your readings pulling out a medical bag. But I'm going to show you what you do read about him. A bit of it anyhow. And I'm not saying he wasn't a physician. He could have been a doctor, a physician. And we thank God for all nurses and doctors, don't we? Absolutely. But it's just a thought to get to another thought. And then we'll see how the Lord leads. Let's read Colossians 4, verse 14. And the beloved physician. Luke 4, verse 14. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. So it's just to get the phrase, the physician. Let's bow our heads again tonight. Colossians, 4, 14. I'm telling you, it's Luke. His name's Luke, but it's Colossians 4:14. Sorry. Let me read it again. Colossians 4:14. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Let's bow our heads again tonight. Praise God. Let's just have a word of prayer. And if you have a need tonight, just lift your hand before the Lord. And I want to just encourage you tonight. And you pray for me as well. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for your mercy, for your grace, for your love, for your truth that you've showed toward each and every one of us this evening. Father, we give you all the praise and we give you all the glory. We welcome from the very outset the Holy Spirit into this room and upon our lives. We pray that every spirit will be subject to the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we thank you for the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ cleanses of righteous being ready prayed, and we say amen, Lord, till it. Wash us, sanctify us. Fill us afresh with the Holy Ghost. I do take the Holy Ghost in Jesus' precious name. Lord, I pray you'll move in the hands that's raised. You know, every single need, answer prayer, meet every need. For those that's sick, Lord, we've asked again for Eileen, healer and toucher, for Andrea, toucher, for Sister Eileen here's mother, give her strength and grace. For others that need your touch tonight, and for those that can't be here, bless them and be with them. Bless all the nurses, the doctors. Lord, as we look to your word, we need your help, your guidance, your inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we do pray for the Biscoat family tonight, Lord, but perhaps don't personally know them really, but we just pray you'll comfort them and strengthen them, Lord, and just bless all his daughters and his son-in-laws and all the church there and the fellowship round about. And George, we just do thank you for the testimonies we did hear. We praise you for it tonight. And Father, we pray you'll have your way in our midst and in our lives. Move in our children, move in our family, save them, cover them with your precious blood. Lead us and guide us as we acknowledge you in all our ways, knowing you will direct our paths. Bless the service tonight, if thou wouldst tarry to this weekend. Bless Brother Mark, Brother Gary, myself here in the evening. Have your way in all the meetings where your words preach faithfully. Bless and undertake. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, Luke was Paul's companion. We know that. And some of his missionary journeys. And they really set out the history, if you like, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. When you say Luke set out the history, yes, through the book of Acts, you get the full history of the early church. People talk about church history, and I've read church history, and I'll tell you the best church history you'll read is the book of Acts. It's the best church history. There's good church histories, but the book of Acts was written under the inspiration. Luke was under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, and we believe it is the Word of God. It is interesting when we present. You know, when Luke was, was present at emergencies, that he didn't minister to the sick in the way that some people make it out, like a doctor or such. And I want to show you that tonight. Let us go to the book of Acts 20, verse 9 to 19, just to read these accounts. And rather than me try and preface it all, Acts 20, verse 9 to 19, Acts 20. And there sat at a window a certain young man named Lucas, being fallen into a deep sleep, and as Paul was long preaching, he sunk down with sleep and fell down from the third loft and was taken up dead. And Paul went down and fell upon him, and embracing him, said, "Trouble not yourselves, for his life is in him." When he therefore was come up again and had broken bread and eaten and talked long time, even till the break of day, so he departed. And they brought the young man alive and were not a little comforted. And we went before a ship. And this is Luke doing the writing here. That's why I want you to get that. Amen. And sailed on to Assos, there intending to take in Paul, for so had he appointed, minding himself to go afoot. And when he met with us at Assos, we took him in and come to Miletus. I might be pronouncing this right, but don't worry about that. And we sailed thence and came the next day over against Chaos. And the next day we arrived at Samos and tarried at Trollium. And the next day we came to Maltus. For Paul had determined to sail to Ephesus because he would not spend the time in Asia, for he hasted, if it were possible for him, to be at Jerusalem on the day of Pentecost. And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, "Ye know from the first day that I came to Asia, after what manner have I been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind and with tears and with temptations, and befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews on the island of Melita." Again, Luke was present, and he records how Paul laid his hands on the father of the ruler and healed him, and then on other sick, diseased people who came to him as a result. Nor did Luke attempt to assist over the witch when the serpent was fastened on him. You don't read of Luke going to assist to take it off him or any medical thing. So Luke's writing here, but you're not reading of a medical bag that Luke was carrying with him to assist as a physician, as some people make out. And I'm not saying he wasn't, but I'm telling you, these men were clothed with the power of God, and they weren't relying on a physical physician. They were relying on the Lord Jesus Christ, the great physician. And I tell you, Luke, if he was a physician, and it says he was, so we're going to take it he was, he didn't need to do nothing. He just watched, and he seen the power of God working through Paul, and he was there and saw it. And all these miraculous things, the young man falling down, and he was raised up. on the snake. And you read through here in the book of Acts, for the snakes jumped out and bit them. And it done them no harm. But the people thought they would die when the snakes bit them. And you know the rest of the story. When they didn't die, they thought they were gods. And they're going to worship them and so forth. That's the rest of the story. But he didn't rush in to take the serpent off Paul or anything like that. Because the power of God was on him. Paul and Luke as well, I believe. And I tell you, they were depending upon the great physician, not an earthly physician. And you know, we're living in an age where people have become too dependent on the earthly physician. And they're too quick to go to the physician. And you know, a healing ministry is very hard to run today. Because there's a lot of people, and if they're any wee problem at all, and they can get paid for being sick, they'll do it before they want healed. They'll get paid for being sick. And we have a country and a government, and I'm not saying that's wrong if somebody's genuine. But what I'm telling you is, if you have somebody that knows they're going to get paid for having something, they'll be hard to get delivered from it because they want it. They want it. Now I'm going to tell you a story that happened to me, and it's true, because I was there when it happened. When I was in Czechoslovakia, and that's a long time ago, there's a woman, and she used to do Christian articles in a magazine. And it was published in the local towns. It was a very big magazine. She did it like a newspaper. She did a whole big article every week in the magazine. And she wanted to see me and interviewed me and the interpreters and everything else like that. And they said to me, "No, everybody had prayed for her. She's never healed. And we can't understand why she's never healed." And I remember going in a forest and I was fasting and praying and seeking the Lord. And God showed me that she wouldn't be healed because she didn't want healed. And you say, "Brother Tom, that's ridiculous." No, it's not. There's some people don't want healed because they're too well off the way they are. If God healed them, they'd have to get a job. So they don't want healed. Now, I'm just being honest here tonight. And God showed me this woman didn't want it healed. And I'll tell you what, I went and seen her and she questioned me and I told her straight to her face what I was told in the forest, that she didn't want healed. And she started crying and she said, "That's the truth." She said, "These young girls come in here every day and they nurse me about and the feed me and look after me, and if I was healed and I wouldn't need them and I mightn't see them and I'd be by myself." So she didn't want healed and she didn't get healed. And I tell you, it's not an awful thing. And Wigglesworth said that. Wigglesworth said the time had come when a deliverance ministry and healing ministry would be very difficult to operate because people have so many other things they're depending on. But when you take the same man what might be seeing much in some places and put him out somewhere for the desperate and they want healed because of no other choice, you'll see miracles. And didn't Jesus say himself, he couldn't do many, many things because of unbelief. Let's read in Acts 28. Book of Acts 28, verse 3 to 9. Acts 28, verse 3 to 9. "And when Paul had gathered a bundle of sticks and laid them on the fire, there came a viper out of the heat, fastened on his hand. And when the barbarians saw the venomous beast hanging his hand," excuse me, "they said among themselves, 'No doubt this man is a murderer, whom though he hath escaped the sea, yet vengeance suffereth him not to live.' And he shook off the beast into the fire and felt no harm. Howbeit they looked when he should have swollen or fallen down dead suddenly, but after they had looked a great while and saw no harm come him, they changed their minds and said that he was a god. And in the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Pobulus, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. And it came to pass that the father of Pobulus lay sick of a fever and of a bloody flux, to whom Paul entered in and prayed and laid his hands on him and healed him. So when this was done, others also which had diseases in the island came and were healed." So I'll tell you, and Luke's recording all this, Luke's seeing all this. But there's nowhere you read of Luke going in with a medical bag. But you read of Paul under the power of God. And this is where I told you This viper bit him, stuck to him, and it never harmed him. Now, you hear stories, and I don't know if you've ever seen a thing on years ago, where there's Pentecostals in America, they used to bring live snakes to church. This is true, what I'm telling you. They took Mark 16, took up a serpent. But I don't believe God wants us to bring a live snake to church and handle it. There's enough snakes we'll meet without bringing any. We'll meet enough along the way. Is that the truth? But they brought real snakes. Now, I'll tell you something happened to me. This is true, Bill. This wasn't that long ago. I was working for a fella, and he used to have a big thing for strange animals. He could take the children to one of them, like, big barn. It was all done up. I built a lot of it for him. Made him gates, and he'd everything in it. And I tell you, I was working away this one day, and the lights went out, and he says, "Tommy, don't move a muscle." And I said, "What's wrong?" He says, "Don't move. Whatever you do, don't move." And see, when the light came on, I had a python on me. He shot a python on me. And this thing was near as long as this platform. This snake was massive. My dad says to me, my dad was living at the time. He says, "He should have took the machete to it. Stayed away. Chopped the head off it." And he hit this python on me. I have a photo of it in my phone. And I tell you what, I never moved. I never moved, and I thought, you know, you'll handle snakes, but I'll tell you what, it's a bit like the fella said he'd jump in with a lens. That's all right saying it till you're faced with it. I'm telling you. And I told you this one day I was at the zoo, and I was teasing the lion a bit, and the big lion came right at the thing, he near come through it, and scared the life out of it. It's all right saying these things till you're faced with it, the reality of it. But these boys in America lifted live snakes. And they said they wouldn't harm them. And there was hardly any of them ever. The odd one could bit. But there wasn't many of them ever could bit. But I believe that's tempting God. I believe God's not talking about that. But if we were on a trip like Paul, on a missionary trip, and out of an accident, something happens, then you know if God sent you, God is obligated to take care of you. And I tell you what, he took care of Paul. Paul was a man of faith, wasn't he? You think of that fella, I can't remember his name, was out fishing, William Branham, and he could bit. And William Branham was fishing. And the boy ran over to him, he rushed over to him, and he said, Brother Branham, a brother so-and-so, I can't remember his name, you can look this up. And he's got bit with a snake. And he thought William Branham would throw the rod down, run, but he never moved. He kept on fishing. He kept on fishing away. And he fished away. Because I believe he was waiting on a word from the Lord. And then he said to him, "Brother, you know it's going to be all right." And the brother believed it, and there was nothing never happened to him. He was all right. But I tell you, it could set you in panic. You think when that boy set that snake on me, and the thing was as thick as that, a big massive snake. He had it in one of them places, you know, you go around and look at it, and it all sorts of stuff. Scared the life out of me. But I'll tell you, this snake jumped out in Paul, and he just threw it off into the fire, and he never worried about it. He never worried a thing about it. Now, I'm telling you, you go back and you listen to that story, what I'm quoting to you. I'm not telling you it's all of it properly. But you see that same man, I'm telling you, went fishing William Branham. That boy was poaching. He was poaching. And the boy was waiting on him to catch him poaching. And he stopped the car and he hid the fish over the hedge. He hid them. And later on that evening, he met William Branham later on that evening. And they were having their lunch. William Branham says, "Did you ever hear of two fellas had to stop and hide fish behind a hedge?" He told them everything about it. And he says, "These two fellas, you know, there was two fellas and they had to stop." The two boys were in front of him. He's telling them it. Now, them boys, the fear of God come on them. Because they didn't know how he knew that. But he knew everything about it. And he told them everything about it. Isn't that amazing? And I tell you, that's what God can know everything about us. Every single thing about us. And look at this. And I'm not telling you don't go to the doctor. Certainly go to the doctor. But I'm telling you, our physician's the Lord Jesus. And Paul here has a great ministry. Listen, you see, in this account, I want to talk about King Asa for a moment. And this account of King Asa, he started his 40-year reign as a religious ruler, and he really was good with God and everything at the start, and he overthrew his enemies. And after he obeyed the prophet Azariah and taught the people to seek the Lord and all them wonderful things, but after all the years of peace that followed, he turned to help. He looked at a heathen king, the king of Assyria, instead of looking to the Lord. The Lord had helped him all along. Then all of a sudden he looked to something else. And we need it. The Lord's helped us in the past. I want to encourage you tonight. If the Lord's helped you in the past, when you know your own personal things, God's going to help you again. So don't be trying to look to anything else. God's going to help you again. Amen. Don't look to nothing else. Instead of relying upon the defense, upon the Lord, when God sent its messenger Hananiah to rebuke and warn him, Asa put the seer of God in prison. And he went further and began to oppress the people. And look what resulted in the last 2 years of his life. And you can read from 2 Chronicles 16. Let me take the time and just let me read you a few verses tonight, verse 1 down to 14. I might get some words wrong, but I'll try my best. In the 6th and 13th year of the reign of Asa, Baasha, king of Israel, came up against Judah and built Ramoth to the intent that he might let none go out or come into Asa, king of Judah. Then Asa brought out silver and gold out of the treasures of the house of the Lord, out of the king's house, and sent to Ben-Hadad, king of Syria, that dwelt at Damascus, saying, "There is a league between me and thee, as there was between my father and thy father. Behold, I have sent the silver and gold. Go break thy league with Baasha, king of Israel, that he may depart from me." And Ben-Hadad hearkened unto King Asa, and sent the captains of the armies against the cities of Israel, and they smote Lion and Dan and Abel and Maon and all the store cities of Naphtali. And it came to pass, when Baasha heard it, that he left off building of the Ramah and let his work cease. Then Asa the king took all Judah, and they carried away the stones of Ramah and the timber thereof wherewith Baasha was building, and he built therewith Geba and Mishpath. And at that time Hananiah the seer came to Asa the king of Judah and said unto him, "Because thou hast relied on the king Syria and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thine hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Lubans a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because thou didst rely on the Lord, he delivered them into thine hand. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro." We pray this often. Here's the scripture for it. Run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards the Lord. And this is where this saying comes from. And often we hear it prayed. And it's true. But this king was delivered when he served God. When he looked to the Lord, God always delivered him. God always defended him. But then he forgets God. And he looks to other help instead of the Lord. And I tell you then, this is what happens. Amen. "Herein thou hast done foolishly, wherefore from henceforth thou shalt have wars." Verse 10. Then Asa was wroth with the seer and put him in a prison house, for he was in a rage with him because of the thing. And Asa oppressed some of the people at the same time. So the seer of God, he didn't want to hear him no more. He didn't want the word of the Lord no more. See, when you turn down a prophet of God, you're turning down God. Because a prophet of God's God's spokesman. And when God sends a seer, and there's seers in the Bible, amen? And God lets them see things. And that's God sending the message. And we need to respect that and honor that and obey that when it's really of the Lord. But this fella here, he thought he'd got up high and mighty. He didn't need it no more. But he needed it. He really needed it. Look at verse 11. "And behold, the acts of Asa, first and last, lo, they were written in the book of the kings of Judah and Israel. And Asa, in the 39th year of the reign, was deceased in his feet, diseased in his feet, until his disease was exceeding great. Yet in his disease he sought not the Lord, but the physicians." So here again we're saying there is physicians, but he sought the physicians instead of the great physician. And I tell you, we need to seek the great physician before any other physicians. And we need to put the Lord first in everything. This is a lesson from the Word of God, isn't it? Verse 13, and Uzzah slept with his fathers and died in one of the 40th year of his reign. And they buried him in his own sepulchre, which he had made for himself in the city of David, and laid him in a bed which was filled with sweet odors and divers kinds of spices prepared for the apothecary's art, and they made a very great burning for him. Sought the wrong thing. And I tell you, that's it. Seeking the wrong thing, but we need to seek after the Lord, don't we? Job 13, verse 4 says, be ye forgers of lies, ye physicians of no value. And I tell you, there's a lot of physicians and physicians of no value. Amen. But the Lord has never lost a case. The Lord's the true physician. Amen. Jeremiah 8, 22. Is there no balm in Gilead? Is there no physician there? He's turning us to the Lord. Why then is not the health of the daughter of thy people recovered? So it's the Lord we need to look till it's our physician. Now there's earthly physicians, and Luke is a physician. But Luke's not interrupting what God's doing. Luke's believing what God's doing. Let me tell you as a testimony of a doctor and my own self. One of the times I was in Africa, I'm telling you, there's a boy tried to curse me one of the times I was in Africa. And there was a prophecy before I left here describing a man that would be posing as a minister, but he was false. And everywhere I was going, I was looking for him. And then eventually I knew him. And God spoke to me back in a hotel room about him and another fella. And I was shocked what God told me. And I rebuked the devil because I couldn't believe it, what was spoke to me. I thought I was imagining it. But it was the Lord showed me it. When I look back now, especially, it was all through every bit of it. But that boy tried to curse me. But I took a real something wrong, which I don't want to really go into detail, but it's a sore thing. Let me just say that. And I went to a doctor that said to me, you need to go to a doctor because you have to take a trip on a bus. And it's so many hours of a journey in a bus, and I could hardly sit. So you can guess between the lines, I was in bad shape, what I had. So I go to this doctor anyway, and the doctor says to me, I tell him what I'm there for, and he says, I'm a born-again Christian. I'm a doctor, but I'm a born-again believer. I'm Pentecostal. It's not great. The devil doesn't like the Pentecostals. But this doctor was a Pentecostal doctor. And he says, I could do things with you and slice you and different things, but you'd be in an awful shape to travel where you're going. But he says, I'll tell you what, brother, I'm going to pray for you. This is true. He didn't inject me or give me anything like that. He prayed for me. And the next morning as well. That's the truth. God touched me that very evening. And the people I was with were shocked. Now they were claiming big things, but there was a fellow with them needed a touch, but they didn't give him one. Because they were in other business. But God exposed it. But the Lord touched me, and that man, that doctor, prayed for me. And he was a black doctor, colored doctor, black African, big lump of a man. And he laid his hands on me and prayed for me in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord healed me. Isn't that amazing? And I tell you, they were surprised. Because there's people waiting on me in the bus. And they told them the story, this fellow was in bad shape when he gets there. But he wasn't in bad shape. A matter of fact, the fellows that were meant to do the preaching couldn't do it. And I done all of it. And that's the truth. And God knows that's the truth. Some of the boys were meant to preach, couldn't preach, and weren't fit to preach. And they said to me, brother, could you take our place? And I said, certainly. They said, are you ready? I says, I'm always ready. Because the Bible says, always be ready to give a reason for the hope that lay within you. The physician. Now I went, this man was a physician, I went to him, but he prayed for me. It's not a good doctor to have. Look, Albert was ready to go into the theatre, all the vertebrae out in his back. And he prayed to the Lord and he said, do you see this physician, this doctor, whatever he says to me, I'll believe it's you, Lord, that you'll talk through him this morning. And the doctor says, Albert, if I was you, I wouldn't get this operation. It's a big, dangerous one. It could cure you or it could wreck you. And he said, that's not for me. And he went home, and the next morning he got up, he was well. Isn't that amazing? And like Albert's no young fella. Albert's much touching 70. But God still healed him. There's no age. You're not too young or too old for God to heal you. Look at the New Testament, Mark 5, verse 26. Then we're going to close and pray, and we won't be long the night. Mark 5, verse 26. And had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. But the Lord healed her. Amen? She met the real physician. And I tell you, there's some physicians today, and they're only guessing. I know of a woman, and this is a true story, this is not a wee story. Somebody's told this is true. This woman went to the ordinary way you go, you know, NHS, whatever you call it. And she was coughing a bit. And they actually read her lungs. And they said, we've seen a dot in your lungs, it's cancer. We're going to have to take it out. And she says, well, doctor, if you don't mind, I'm going to get a second opinion. And she paid and she went private. And the fella took her private. And he actually read her and he says, you have a pea in your lung. A pea that you ate went in her lung. So she choked or whatever happened, it was a pea. But the first boy diagnosed it as cancer. And he wanted to treat her as cancer. And it was a pea in her lung. And you know, let me tell you this story. There was a young woman from Norway. Was in one of William Branham's meetings. She was a very young woman. And she came in front of him on the platform. And he discerned her. And he said, they've operated on you, but they took the wrong thing out of you. And you still have the problem. That is thus saith the Lord. But he said, of course the Lord's healed you now. And she went to walk off and he stopped her. And he said, the Lord will always be with you in a very special way, as long as you live. That's what he told her. Now, the last time I preached in Norway, who do you think came in the car with me? That woman. That very woman. She's an old woman. And she came in the car and went from one place to another. The brothers introduced her. She came in the car. And there she was in the meeting that night. And the presence of God was powerful in the meeting that night. And there was people healed in that meeting. And the old pastor that used to come over to Brother Ron's, he was, and I'm going back a lot of years, you remember, he was caught up about the seven seals. Everything he preached was about the partly broken and half broken and all these, broken this, broken that, all the seven seals was always in the man's head. I'm just being honest about it. He preached the seven seals every time he preached. And if you didn't preach in the seven seal, you hadn't preached nothing according to him. But I went anyway, but I wasn't preaching in the seven seal, I was preaching about Jesus. And it was hard to get preaching because he was ahead over it all. But his daughter, something wrong with her. And the second night I was in Norway, God healed her daughter. And it was on her face, and you could see it, God healed her. And I tell you, there's liberty in the meetings after that. And it's all right preaching all these big things, but if the power of God can't come after and do something, what's the point of it all? When Paul preached, the power of God was there. When William Branham preached, the power of God was there. And we need the power of God. Let's come and pray tonight. Praise God. The Lord bless you. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you tonight for these wonderful testimonies that we can read in the real church history book, the book of Acts. Lord, we don't want to be wrong when we say church history. It's living tonight. It's real tonight. Lord, one man said it's never finished because the Holy Spirit's still acting. And Lord, we believe that tonight. How these snakes come out and Luke was there and saw it. What a privilege to be with a man of God. Lord, we believe Luke was a physician and a great man of God himself. We believe he is filled and baptized with the Holy Ghost. And you used him to write part of this Bible. We thank you for Luke tonight. And Father, I just pray that you'll help each one of us to put you first in everything. Lord, that we'll look to you, that we'll not have someone else that we prefer before you, but that you'll be the number one. When it comes to our forsaking, for everything, we look to you as the number one. We pray for your help, for your strength tonight. Father, I pray you'll touch people in this room tonight. Lord, that maybe haven't raised their hand or mentioned anything, but you know what they've need of tonight, and that perhaps they've prayed in secret on their own self, prayed and sought you, Lord. Lord, you say that if we'll enter into the closet and pray in secret, you will reward us openly. And I pray for those tonight that's been praying, Father, that you'll touch them and minister unto them. And others, Lord, maybe it hasn't prayed, but they still need a touch. And Lord, we know it's not by a works program, but we can come at any place, anytime, anywhere, because you're our high priest who's touched by the feeling of our infirmities. And Father, we're coming tonight. We need your touch on our bodies, on our physical bodies, upon men and women in this house and those listening in. Touch them and heal them. In the name of Jesus Christ, let the power of God go out upon your people. Pray again for Brother Howard, Lord, that you'll touch him and mend him and raise him up. Lord, for the brother in Australia and Brother Brian's assembly as well that needs to touch the wee woman and the brother. Touch them, Lord, and raise them up. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. And bless Brother Brian as well. Strengthen them, Lord. And, oh God, use them mightily in Jesus Christ's name. And, Father, we'll give you all the praise and we'll give you all the glory. And, Lord, for unspoken requests tonight for loved ones and their families and relations. Save and move in on them and break in upon them with the Holy Ghost. And help us to serve you, Lord. In Jesus' precious name, bless each one now, Lord. And I ask for it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Just let's seek the Lord for a wee time tonight. Praise God.